Our scripture reading for today is taken from the book of the Acts of the Apostles, select verses from the fourth chapter. And the context here is that Peter and John have been under pressure from authorities and finally under arrest for preaching about Christ and also for the healing of a man. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Let it be known to you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man stands here before you whole. There is no salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, they marveled. They conferred among themselves, saying, "What shall we do to these men? But so that it spreads no further among the people, let us severely threaten them, that from now on they speak to no man in this name." So they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said to them, "Whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you more than to God, you judge. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard." These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would increase our faith through them. Amen. You may have heard me tell before about a photograph that always stays with me of a pastor conducting a worship service out in the woods in Ukraine. And there are a number of worshipers there, maybe the size of our orchestra today. And as he is consecrating the elements for the Lord's Supper, you can see behind the congregation, there are a number of men looking backwards into the woods. And the reason was this was a time of persecution, and the Soviet government was trying to shut down Christianity, sometimes under the threat of death. And you wonder what in the world would be so important to somebody to face that danger and that threat, even from government authorities. What makes people, like we see in our text, what makes people so bold to willingly stand in such danger, something that to the world would appear to be so reckless? Well, the very message that they are proclaiming has such power in it, is more powerful than any threat they're going to receive from these government officials. In the text before us, Peter and John had been preaching in Jerusalem, and they were finally imprisoned for doing this. And it's like they just wouldn't be quiet. They wouldn't stop talking about the name of this man, Jesus. And it's interesting, just in a couple chapters here, in Acts chapter 3, we're told that there were 3,000 brought to faith. And now just two chapters later, maybe a matter of days later, we're told the number's up to 5,000. Just think of the sudden growth of this Christian faith. And we're told they were proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection of the dead. Let's just make a side note here. The sermons that we see and the messages that we hear about in the book of Acts, in the early days of the apostles, they're not about improving people's morality. They're not about trying to make you a better person and things. They're always about Jesus. They're always about Christ and what he brings, about his death and his resurrection and what that means for people. And we see that here as well. The focus is always on Christ and what he, the gifts and the blessings that he can bring to us, Jesus and his resurrection. And that message is also then the demarcation message that makes the distinction between the believing world and the unbelieving world. So the gospel has this very divisive nature to it, and that's exactly what our Lord had promised. Jesus once said, "Do not think that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword." So those who follow this wonderful message in this name of Christ should recognize and understand this will at times put us in some great difficulties, possibly even imprisonment, possibly even the threat of death as we see here. Right now, over in Finland, there are Christians who are trying to continue teaching what Christ would teach from the Bible, and the government authorities are trying to shut this down, in essence, wage war on the very message that Christianity would bring. And yet, despite all the efforts of governments and terrorists and everybody through the years who have tried to shut down this message of Christ. As the hymn says, the church shall never perish. Her dear Lord to defend, to guide, sustain, and cherish is with her to the end. He promises to be with his church to the end, no matter what she has to face. It's interesting that these local rulers that come to Peter and John, all they want them to do is stop talking. Isn't that interesting? Just be quiet. Just stop talking. This is all about words. Isn't that kind of silly and funny in a way? It's just about words. Think how little it takes for God to get things done in his kingdom. Just lowly men, they even make a note of how uneducated and untrained these guys are. They're fishermen. Lowly men just talking about what Christ has come to do for us. Now, why is it so important in the minds of Peter and John to talk about this and to speak this message about Jesus? Well, this is why. Peter says it. Salvation, getting to heaven, is found in no one else. For there's no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. John, later on, would write, he who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. That's what it all comes down to. If you've got Christ by faith and what he's done for you, you have life. If you don't, you don't. By the way, it's kind of noteworthy here, and you see this a lot in the work of the church, not only back in biblical times, but today too. It's noteworthy that the people who are being harmed or imprisoned or threatened because of preaching the gospel, they still love the people that are hurting them. Isn't that interesting? Think of the power of the love of God that goes into Christians and the power of the gospel that it can't even break people who are getting hurt by those who hate it. They still love the people that are trying to hurt them. St. Paul once said before a great Roman ruler, I basically expressed, I wish I had time if you took it to sit down and I'd love to teach you about Christ. The gospel has this power in it to create its own evangelists. And I've seen this a number of times when I would take people through adult instruction, that even though we haven't had a chance to talk yet about the Great Commission, go and make disciples, they already will come up after class and start asking questions about how they can talk to their neighbor or a friend or somebody about it. The Holy Spirit, when the Holy Spirit comes inside of us and takes residence in our hearts and causes us to love Christ, he stirs up a confession and a boldness of a faith that wants to now let other people know. And that's what we see in Peter and John. We cannot help speaking about what we've seen and heard, they say. You just can't stop us from wanting other people to know about this. Consider all of the weapons, all of the artillery that God could have at his disposal to use to pressure people into becoming believers in Christ. He could have forced evangelism on people, or he could force his church into doing it. But he doesn't choose to do that. He has chosen instead to operate by deeply loving you and me so deeply in Christ and giving us such amazing future because of Christ that we just want to be part of it. He doesn't guilt you into carrying out his great commission, but he allows you and me, he allows us as believers to experience the fun and the joy of being a part of the Great Commission. We just can't help ourselves. It's God's fault that you care about mission work. It's God's fault that you want other people to come to faith in Christ. It's God's fault that that is going on inside of you. It's pretty rare to find a pastor or a Christian teacher who doesn't really enjoy their work. Now, catch them on the wrong day, and they can have some tough days. But it's pretty rare to find a pastor who doesn't really enjoy his work. God hasn't made the work of his ministry a drudgery in the world. It's a fun thing. It's a trip. It's a blast. It's a joyful thing. It's a wonderful thing. And you can see that in, for instance, the excitement of the shepherds after they learn and come to see Jesus in the manger. They go out and tell people they're not begrudged to do this. They're not under any force or obligation. They just went door to door through the town of Bethlehem. We see it in the jailer at Philippi. When he comes to faith in Christ, he just can't help but take these people home to his family. The woman at the well, she just can't contain herself. She's got to go back to town and tell all of her friends. Lydia, after her conversion, she wants to help the apostles. So this is all based on the joy that we receive in the gospel itself. And as members of Christ's kingdom, we love to observe baptisms. We love to hear about adult conversions. We love to learn more about new missions. We love to see new congregations started because it's a fun enterprise. It's a joyful enterprise to be part of this because you and I have already learned from God what it means for our future, and we want others to share that with us. Amen. Let us pray. Lord God, our Heavenly Father, we thank and praise you for making us part of your kingdom of grace through faith in your Son, forgiving us of all of our sins, and giving us the hope of our own future resurrection. We pray that you would stir up our hearts in sincere faith to support and love this precious work, and that you would use us in our confession of this Savior to advance your kingdom of grace. We ask it all in his saving name. Amen. peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep our hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Go in his peace. Amen.